Is anybody here very busy? Anybody busy? Is everybody busy? You have a lot going on in your life right now? It seems we all do. How about stress? Anybody have any stress right now at all? Well, I probably have a little bit of that as well. We live in a pretty stressful, nonstop, 24-hour-a-day kind of world, and we all, I think, have learned that we need that time to stop and kind of refocus on priorities in life and our relationship with God. We know that God made the seventh-day Sabbath to be a memorial of creation and of his deliverance and of a sign that he has a relationship with a special called out people, a sign of obedience to God, and it's a reminder of the coming rule of Christ on the earth. All of those things are accomplished in the Sabbath day. I had an interesting phone conversation yesterday afternoon about 5 o'clock, 5:30, I think, about half hour, 40 minutes. We post a phone number on Life, Hope, and Truth, and people who have questions are invited to call that number. And the receptionist says, what would you like? And many times they ask if a minister from the church would call them because they had some questions. And so there's a team of a handful of us who are on a schedule to take those calls in turn as they come in. And so I received a notice from McKinney yesterday that a lady from Alaska had called and that she was a Sabbath keeper and she had some questions. And so I called her, got through to her about 5:30 or so, and she's probably, sounds like she's a retiree, age 70s, maybe 80, a senior citizen. She had moved to Alaska from the Bronx years ago with a friend. Her friend had since died, and she was now mostly alone and mostly staying in her apartment complex, but she said she didn't mind that because she had found a relationship with God. She said she used to be a bar hopper. Friday night was bar hopping night. And as she got older, she realized, this isn't good for me to keep doing this. How am I going to quit? But I enjoy it so much. And then she found out about the Sabbath. And that took care of Friday night bar hopping because she was convinced about the Sabbath. And so that solved that problem. And so she is a Sabbath keeper. She learned from the Seventh-day Adventist Church about the Sabbath, but she's not convinced that they are God's true church, and her spirit was not comfortable there, as she said. She found us, Life, Hope, and Truth, on the website, and has been reading articles and literature and had questions about the Sabbath and about more about us and about our organization, about the Church of God. And we had just a delightful, her over-the-top enthusiasm for the Sabbath was really a delight. It reminded me of when I first came in the church, probably when you first came in the church and were convicted of the Sabbath and what that was like. She was just so excited about the Sabbath and about keeping the Sabbath and the questions. And every time I would give her a title of another article or our booklet, The Sabbath, a Neglected Gift from God, she was just so impressed with the titles. Oh, I have to read that one. That one sounds so good. And she has been trying to convince some of her senior citizen neighbors about the Sabbath. That is not going well. They are not delighted as she is. And she's been gathering more and more arguments. And I try to help her understand that, unless God really opens their mind, you can certainly answer their questions. And if they're sincere, answer their questions. But it really will do little good to get in debates and arguments with them because they just aren't going to understand unless God opens the mind. And so it was an interesting conversation about the Sabbath. And again, her just enthusiasm for the Sabbath was just really exciting to see. Well, we know that the Bible says that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath and that it was made for man, for humanity, for mankind's benefit. It was made for our good, contrary to the way that some feel about the Sabbath as a burden. It was just one of those burdens that need to be relieved. I'm curious what your reaction was. Any who'd like to share? What was your reaction when you first found out about the Sabbath? when you first learned about it. How did you feel about it? What was your reaction to the Sabbath? Anybody, as far as how you felt about it, and what was your reaction? Anybody recall what that was like for you? It's going to be interesting just hearing what your thoughts were about the Sabbath at first. Nobody can remember that far back. Yes, Joe. And from there it got better. Anybody else? Yes, BK. And he was done with it. Very good. Anybody else? I can remember my first reaction was simply amazement at how plain it was. Looked at the calendar because somebody said the Sabbath was the seventh day. I looked at the calendar. There was Sunday the first day and Saturday the seventh day. There it is right in front of my eyes all the time. And the scriptures said the seventh day was the Sabbath. And I was just amazed. It was just there, plain as day as could be. And that was really where I began my search for the true church. My friend and I, coming to the church at the same time, began driving around the city of Youngstown, Ohio, a city of, at that time, around 100,000 population, began looking for churches meeting on the Sabbath. And we would walk in and sit and observe the service for a little bit, but never, because other things we had begun reading in the Bible, it just didn't, this couldn't be God's true church, and we never did find the worldwide church of God that way. We found it totally by accident the night before we were ready to leave for Pasadena to find the true church. Called our boss the day before and said, gave him basically a day or two notice that we were quitting to go out to California. He thought we were crazy to find this church out there, that it was out there. And so the night before we were ready to leave, we stopped in to say goodbye to my friend's cousin and said we were looking for Garner Ted's church. And he said, oh, yeah, my friend goes to Garner Ted's church here in Youngstown. And we said, what? Church here in Youngstown? And that was our introduction to the church being in Youngstown, Ohio as well. We showed up that Sabbath. We were told that where the church met, we couldn't find it because it was in a high school, Cheney High School in Youngstown, Ohio. We couldn't find, just looking for a church. We thought it was the building. And we were told to show up at noon by this friend. We did. And what we did know, that was the end of Sabbath service, not the beginning. And so we met the pastor, however, and the next Sabbath he invited us to Sabbath services. But our search, the catalyst for us was the Sabbath, trying to find a church that kept God's Sabbath. So I thought it would be good to review, but also to go through our fundamental belief statement on the Sabbath. And here's what that statement says. We'll break it up into sentence by sentence and look at each one for a few minutes. The seventh day of the week is the Sabbath of the Lord our God. And on this day, humans are commanded to rest from their labors and worship Him. Established and blessed by God at creation, the seventh day of the week begins at sunset on Friday and continues until sunset on Saturday. The Sabbath is an identifying sign and a perpetual covenant between God and His people. True Christians follow the example of Jesus Christ, the apostles, and the New Testament church in observing the seventh-day Sabbath. That's our statement. It's available, of course, on the Kagwa.org site under the Who We Are or About Us tab. You find the fundamental beliefs there. So let's look at each of these statements. The first one simply says, the seventh day of the week. The seventh day of the week. And that's a significant statement. But let's go back to Genesis 2. And notice what we find here in verses 1 through 4. Genesis 2, verse 1 through 4, because it dispels a common belief that many have come to accept. Genesis 2, verse 1 through 4, thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. What do you notice about that statement? Because there are those who say, well, look, as long as we give God one day in seven, doesn't matter which day, give God one day in seven. However, Genesis says it has to be specifically the seventh day, we know, that God blessed and made it holy, specifically that day, not just any one in seven. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 28, Matthew 28 and verse 1, we find this emphasized here very clearly. Matthew 28, verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, there it is again. Following the Sabbath is the first day of the week. We look on a standard calendar, we know the first day of the week is Sunday. The Sabbath is the seventh day. Sunday is the first day. The weekly cycle began at creation and has continued. Here, many, many centuries later from creation, here is the weekly cycle still understood, that the Sabbath was the seventh day and the first day of the week followed the Sabbath. The order of days of the week was not lost. Luke 23 and verse 56 and going on into the next chapter. Luke 23 and verse 56. Following Christ's death and burial, then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they then went about the rest of their business. The Sabbath, as the seventh day of the week, has continued, unbroken, unlost, and preserved all over the world by the Jews, even in their scattered condition. They've not lost. There is no confusion about which day of the week is referred to as the Sabbath in the Bible among those who have observed that Sabbath for thousands of years. The calendar is not confused. The order of the days of the week has no confusion. It's still as it was as God established at creation, the seventh day of the week. And isn't it interesting that when you go through the account in Genesis 1, that there's only one of the 7 days that has a name. The others are named the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day, and the Sabbath, which, of course, we know it refers to the seventh day of the week. But man has given the other days of the week names according to pagan gods. But they're simply called in the Bible the first day of the week, the second day of the week, etc. The Sabbath is called the Sabbath, and it's called holy and blessed and sanctified because it is special in God's eyes. Anything else to add to that as far as the seventh day of the week? Maybe other scriptures or other thoughts come to mind about how you first saw or realized it's the seventh day. And there it is, plain as day. Let's go on into the next statement, the seventh day of the week. And the next statement is the Sabbath of the Lord our God. The Sabbath of the Lord our God. Let's turn to Ezekiel and see what God says about that. Ezekiel 20, the Sabbath of the Lord our God. Ezekiel 20, and first of all, verse 5. God instructed Ezekiel to say to them, thus says the Lord God, on the day when I chose Israel and raised my hand in an oath to the descendants of the house of Jacob, and made myself known to them in the land of Egypt, I raised my hand in an oath to them, saying, I am the Lord your God, God identifies himself as the God of Israel, the God of Jacob, who he was, who he is. Then we read in verse 12, "Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them." The Sabbath is God's invention or creation, not man's, not Israel's, and not the Jews. It's God's Sabbath. It's divinely created holy time. Man cannot make time holy. Man can certainly choose to worship God any day of the week he wants. You can worship God on Monday. You can worship God on Thursday. We ought to worship God every day, but we are commanded to worship God on his holy time, the weekly Sabbath. It's his creation, the Sabbath of the Lord our God. And it was created, he says, as a sign that people would know who he is. There's a statement in Exodus 16. Remember the account, of course, of the giving of manna, Exodus chapter 16, and beginning here in verse 23. Exodus 16, verse 23. "Then he said to them, 'This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil. Lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept till morning.' So they laid it up till morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Moses said, 'Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none.'" Sabbath to the Lord. The seventh day of the week is the Sabbath of the Lord our God. Not the Sabbath of Israel or of Jews, but it goes all the way back to creation. We know it's the Sabbath of the Lord our God. Any questions or comments or anything to add to that, Ray? Oh, men in the wilderness? They did. You know, you think about that. For 40 years, they saw God provide manna on the sixth day, provide twice as much. It must have grooved that into their minds, you know, 6 days, on the sixth day for 40 years. And yet we know that later on they drifted away from, and no longer they profane God's Sabbath, as we'll see in some of the scriptures. After 40 years of seeing that miracle reinforced over and over and over, and that lesson from God, it is a sign that I am your God, you are my people, this day is holy. 40 years they saw that in action through that miracle of manna, and yet turned aside from that. Pretty amazing. Would we have done the same? Probably, without God's Spirit, probably would have done the same. So the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord our God. The next sentence in our fundamental belief statement says, "And on this day humans are commanded to rest from their labors and worship him." We're commanded to rest from our labors and worship him. Let's go back to Exodus 20, and let's just read the statement in the commandment section, Exodus 20 in verses 8 through 11. "On this day, humans are commanded to rest from their labors and worship him." Exodus 20, verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." So here God gave some very clear instructions concerning the observance of the Sabbath, that we are to remember it and keep it holy. And we show that we are remembering it and that we are keeping it holy by worshiping and by resting from our work on the seventh day. We do those two things primarily, worshiping God and resting from our work on the seventh day. Genesis 2:2 says God rested on the seventh day. Did God need rest on the seventh day? Did God? Why did he rest? As an example for us. God rested as an example. So when we rest on the Sabbath, we're following the example of our Creator. We're following the example and remembering the one who brought us into existence. That's really a powerful thing to remember and to be reminded of, that we have been brought into existence by the Creator of the universe, who desires a relationship with Him, with us. And we are to desire a relationship with Him, and the Sabbath is part of that relationship. Let's read those statements in Exodus 16, back up a few pages. Once again, Exodus 16, and in verse 28, because we know that Israel, at first, not all were faithful, and some went out, verse 27, on the seventh day to gather manna, but found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. When God gives, it's for our good. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. For 40 years, God did that. So the people rested on the seventh day. No gathering, no work. Resting is commanded. But God said they were refusing to keep his commandments. Remember the account in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 13. Let's turn there for a moment. Nehemiah chapter 13. You recall the Jews being returned to Jerusalem from captivity, rebuilding the walls, the city, the temple, that whole process. And we find this happening in Nehemiah 13, beginning in verse 15. Nehemiah writes, in those days I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath, bringing in sheaves and loading donkeys with wine, grapes, figs, all kinds of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them about the day on which they were selling provisions. So some said, well, the Jews lost track of which day in captivity. Well, clearly they didn't. They knew which day was the Sabbath day. Men of Tyre dwelt there also, who brought in fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath to the children of Judah and in Jerusalem, buying and selling on the Sabbath. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah, the leaders, and said to them, what evil thing is this that you do, by which you profane the Sabbath day, and evil by which they profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers do thus? And did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on this city? Yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. Added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. So God commanded. On this day, humans are commanded to rest from their labors and worship Him. And, you know, at first, for many of us, that made it seem a struggle. Can't work on that day? I don't know, you know, some people call themselves workaholics. And I don't know how it was for you, Joe, to say, boy, this is kind of nice now, not working 7 days a week, but taking a day off, you know, and beginning to rest and be refreshed on the Sabbath. God knows what's best for us. Any comments on this particular statement or of the scriptures that pertain to it? We have found it to be a blessing and not a burden to rest on the seventh day, to not go about our everyday work and other things that we might do on other days of the week. So the fourth sentence says, established and blessed by God at creation, the seventh day of the week begins at sunset on Friday and continues until sunset on Saturday. Prove it. Where would you go first to prove that? That the Sabbath begins at sunset on Friday and continues till sunset on Saturday. What scriptures would you turn to prove that? Anybody? Where would you go to show that this is true? Genesis what? Genesis 1:5. Why not start at the very beginning? And let's look at Genesis 1:5. Genesis 1:5 simply says, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. What about verse 8? The evening and the morning were the second day. Verse 13, the evening and the morning were the third day. Verse 19, the evening and the morning were the fourth day. There seems to be a pattern here. The evening and the morning of each is described as the day. God uses sunset to separate one day from another. God links the end of one day and the beginning of another to the setting sun from the very beginning, from creation. We know that the Sabbath is a 24-hour period of time from sunset to sunset, and not just, you know, a half hour or 20 minutes or an hour out of a day in which we go to church and then we're done. When I was growing up in the Roman Catholic Church, Mass tended to be a long affair on Sunday mornings when we went. But then the Catholic Church made a change and began having Saturday afternoon services. What a joy. It was the shortest service of the week. It was a 30-minute church service. So our family began going to church on Saturday afternoon because it was only 30 minutes. It was done. And then we had all day Sunday to picnic, to work, do whatever we wanted to do on Sunday. But we know that God's Sabbath is not that way. Is there another scripture that comes to mind that supports these here in Genesis chapter 1? That would be certainly the place to start, showing that it's sunset to sunset. Does any other scripture come to mind? Anybody? What about the one in Leviticus 23? What's in Leviticus chapter 23? Leviticus 23:3. Which says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath, a solemn rest, a holy convocation. Do no work on it. It is a Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Close. This one doesn't say sunset to sunset. Is there a verse in this chapter that does? How about the verse having to do with the Day of Atonement? Verse 32. The context is the Day of Atonement, so it's important to point that out. But it says, it shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls on the ninth day of the month at evening. From evening to evening you shall celebrate your Sabbath, from evening to evening. So when you read in Genesis 1, each day is evening to evening. You find here a Sabbath, one of God's holy days, evening to evening. It supports the concept that Sabbath is from sunset to sunset. And that's not the way many people think, because for many people, the new day begins at midnight instead of at sunset. And so that is a changing time. And so for some, that presented a problem for work, because in the wintertime, I had to get off work early. Did any of you have any unique experiences with that? I was working on the railroad at the time. And, thankfully my boss was somebody I knew well, and I began to keep the Sabbath. And wintertime, you know, we could be in the middle of a, you know, sometimes there was a wreck on the tracks and tore up the tracks, and those tracks had to be repaired. And I was part of a section gang, but I had told my boss, hey, you know, when this time comes, I need to be gone. I need to leave. And I'm thankful that he was willing to let me leave. The other guys in the crew weren't so happy about it, but, you know, I worked hard when I was there. And but we all had to deal with some of that. You probably did, I'm sure, too. I don't know if any of you had any unique experiences or interventions with having to take off early on the Sabbath, but God made a way for us to do that if we were determined to do that. Ray? You know, and that's really where, when we were called into God's church, when new ones are called in, once they make that commitment, you know, I will keep God's Sabbath, I will not work on the Sabbath, I will not violate the Sabbath, God finds a way, God can intervene for us, but we have to make that commitment and be absolutely determined. Let's go on to the next statement, which says, the Sabbath is an identifying sign and a perpetual covenant between God and his people. The Sabbath is an identifying sign. Let's go back to that scripture in Exodus 20. Exodus 20, And notice how important this concept is to God, that the Sabbath is an identifying sign. It's important to us, but it's also very important in God's eyes. Exodus 20, once again, Ezekiel 20 and verse 12. Ezekiel 20 and verse 12. And just notice how that's worded again. Ezekiel 20, verse 12. God said, "Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths," God's Sabbaths, "be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them." It's the importance to God. God says that they would know. God wants us to know that He is the Lord who sanctifies them, sets them apart as special, holy, a separate people being used by God for a purpose. As God can sanctify a day, He can sanctify a people. And that knowledge has largely been lost today because most people cannot understand the concept that God calls some today, that everybody is not being called today. It's a sign between God and His people. The statement in Exodus 31 is also important. And what I recall, whenever I read these verses in Exodus 31, I think of a gentleman in a congregation where I pastored in the Milwaukee area who owned roller skating rinks. Some of you may remember that. He owned three of them. And as he came into the church, he knew that 80% of the average rink operator's business is on Friday night and Saturday. The first year he shut down on Friday night and Saturday, his business doubled. The second year he shut down on Friday night and Saturday, his business tripled. And he built additional skating rinks. And he began putting on all of his flyers. He had seasonal flyers with his opening and closing hours that changed through the season, based on sunset and the holy days. When he was closed for the holy days, he would put up on the marquee, "Closed for the Feast of Tabernacles from this date to this date, see," and then he would put Leviticus 23 in the verses, or "Closed for the Feast of Unleavened Bread," or "Closed for the Day of Atonement, see," and then he put the verse up there on the big marquee outside of all of his skating rinks. But on all of his flyers, thousands of which were distributed, he had at the top of the flyer about being closed on Saturday, God's Sabbath, and then he would quote parts of Exodus 31, verse 13, and parts of Exodus 31, verse 17. Let's read verse 13. "Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you and throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." Exodus 31:13 on his flyer said, "Surely my Sabbath you shall keep. It is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. You may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you." This was on his flyers. And there may be a few of you here who may remember having been at some of those skating rinks for holy days and even seeing some of those signs up on the marquee that he put there. God said this was a sign. In addition to the instruction given at creation and in the Ten Commandments, God said it was a sign between God and His people Israel, and that it would constitute a perpetual covenant. That the Sabbath is kind of a badge, I guess you could say, an identifying badge. It identifies both the badge maker and the badge wearer, God's people, spiritual Israel today. And that sign, the Sabbath, illustrates, number one, God said, "I am the Lord," the self-existent one, the uncreated creator. It identifies Him as that individual. And it identifies God as the one who sanctifies His people. those keeping his Sabbath and obeying his commandments, who have God's Spirit, are set apart, special in God's eyes. And the Sabbath is one of those identifying signs. So we keep it holy. And it's a reminder to those called by God that he's the one that sets us apart. We come together here on his Sabbath day to worship him and to be reminded of how he has set us and our children apart from the rest of the world. And what a blessing that has been to us. The Sabbath is an identifying sign and a perpetual covenant between God and his people. Any comment or question or anything to add to that, anybody? Let's go to the last sentence, the last statement. True Christians follow the example of Jesus Christ, the apostles, and the New Testament church in observing the seventh-day Sabbath. We have the example of Christ, the apostles, and the New Testament church. Let's look at a couple of things first that Christ said about the Sabbath, what he taught. Matthew 5, and you may think of other things that come to mind. What did Christ teach about, for example, the commandments? Sabbath is one of the commandments. Matthew 5, verse 17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. The Greek word, as you know, for fulfill is pleroo. It means to fill up, to bring to the full, to magnify it, as it says in Isaiah. So Christ came to magnify, to bring into effect not just the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law, to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Which commandments? Sabbath isn't listed here, but he did go on to list several. About murder, about adultery. He gave us a sample of which commandments he was talking about, including the Sabbath. Matthew 19, verse 17. What is the issue here? What is the issue? When this person came to Christ and asked this question, what is the issue? Matthew 19, verse 17. A young man or a man came to Christ and said, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? What is the issue there? What is this person concerned about? We would call it salvation. He's concerned about eternal life. And so people write, is it necessary to keep the Sabbath for salvation? Is it necessary to keep the Sabbath to be saved? How do you answer that question when you've been asked that question, if you have? Well, Christ went on. He said, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. It's a question of salvation and eternal life. And Christ, the man said, which ones? So Christ gave him a sampling. Christ taught the commandments were necessary for salvation because we keep the spirit and letter of the law. So yes, the Sabbath is necessary for salvation. Everybody is going to be taught God's Sabbath and keep God's Sabbath and will repent of violating God's Sabbath. One more that Christ taught of his teachings here in Mark 7. Mark 7 and verses 7 and 8. This one I began using as a club when I was called into the church. I tried to club my father with it, my brother with it, and my friends with it, who were all growing up in the same religion. And in vain they worshiped me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. Said, you know, yes, you go to church on Sunday, and that's a commandment of man. And that's, it's possible to worship God, but for it to be useless. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups and many other such things, laying aside the commandments of God. So Christ's teachings supported the Sabbath. Can you think of anything he did, his action, that also supported the Sabbath? Is there any example of Christ actually observing the Sabbath himself? Or did he just teach it and not keep it? How about Luke 4 and verse 16? Luke 4, 16 says he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. As a child, and as he began to teach in his ministry, he taught on the Sabbath. He chose to do that. How about the apostles in the New Testament church? Well, there is a couple of examples here in Acts 13. For example, Acts 13 and verse 42, Paul had a golden opportunity to teach about the first day of the week, to come and worship. Because here in Acts 13, verse 42, when the Jews went out of the synagogue on the Sabbath, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God, and they heard Paul say, "Next week, come on Sunday, the first day of the week." Of course, it doesn't say that. What a golden opportunity Paul had. Acts 17 and verse 2. Acts 17, verse 2. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures. Acts 18, verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. Is there any place in the Bible that actually says that the people of God must keep the Sabbath other than what we saw in the Old Testament? Is there a New Testament verse? Right? And what is that? Does it mention the Sabbath there? Hebrews 10? It simply says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." It doesn't say anything about the Sabbath, does it? Now, we know they were assembling on the Sabbath, but it doesn't say the Sabbath here, so people will say, "Well, that doesn't mean the Sabbath, that means Sunday." Is there a scripture in Hebrews that does say the Sabbath, that God's people are to assemble on the Sabbath? How about Hebrews 4, verse 9? Your King James, or New King James, Hebrews 4, verse 9. Now, the context of this, most of it is the millennium, the eternal rest of God's kingdom. The word katapazon is used for rest. But what do you know about the word for rest there in verse 9? There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. Anybody know what word is used there? Sabbath, the Greek word sabbatismos, observing or keeping of a Sabbath. It's the only place that word is used in the New Testament. There remains, therefore, a keeping of a Sabbath for the people of God, and the Sabbath is used then as a type of the kingdom of God, or the millennium, the 7,000-year period of rest. So, true Christians follow the example of Christ, the apostles, and the New Testament church in observing the seventh-day Sabbath. Christ did say the Sabbath was made for man in Mark 2, 27 and 28, not for the Jews, for Israel, etc., but for mankind. Let's conclude by thinking for a few moments, what are some of the benefits you have found from keeping the Sabbath? What are some of the benefits that you personally have experienced by keeping the Sabbath? Are there any? Right? So you credit those blessings, putting him first in his Sabbath. What a blessing. Anybody else experience any benefits from keeping the Sabbath? No other benefits from keeping the Sabbath? family time. It does give an opportunity for a family time that you might not have at other days of the week because of work schedules. You're together as a family on the Sabbath. That's a blessing. That's a benefit. Any other benefits of keeping the Sabbath? Fellowship with people of like minds. For all through the week, you may not be with anybody, except when you come home. You may not be with anybody who thinks the way you think about God and the Sabbath and about being moral and Christian and upright in language. But on the Sabbath, you fellowship with people who have the same way of thinking, the same mind. Any other benefit? You learn more of God's ways. You learn more from God teaches us from His Word. Anything else? Relief from pressures of the world around us. We don't even have to turn on the news, listen to the news, watch the news, read the newspaper, kind of get away from it like we do at the feast. We come out of the world. On the Sabbath, we come out of the world and put that behind us. Anything else? Closer relationship with God and more understanding of His truth from God when you keep His Sabbath. I would agree. God's Spirit is here. God is here in spirit. And His Spirit works with the Spirit in man and with the Holy Spirit in us to help us understand truth. But how about just rest and peace? Well, rest, somebody has already mentioned that, or the opportunity to contemplate where we are in God's plan. That is, we've been redeemed, saved from sin, in the sense that we are no longer slaves to sin, all through what Jesus Christ has done. We get to think about those things. We get to think about the Sabbath as a picture of the millennium, a thousand-year period of rest on the whole earth. And, you know, there are so many benefits and blessings keeping the Sabbath. So it's interesting that the Sabbath looks back to creation and reminds us of the Creator. The Sabbath in the present, at this time, recalls for us that God is the one who called us, redeemed us, brought us out of sin. And the Sabbath looks forward to the return of Christ. It looks back, it reminds us of now, and it looks forward as well. The Sabbath is different from most of the other nine commandments because the human mind can find itself naturally in agreement with the commandment against murder, against stealing, against adultery. The human mind can find itself naturally in agreement with that, but the human mind by itself can see no compelling reason to rest and worship one day and a particular day, no less. Human mind can't come to that all by itself. God reveals that to it. The Sabbath is that kind of blessing and benefit, right? Remember the Sabbath. The Sabbath is ancient wisdom, but it's good for all of us this time, and someday all mankind in the future will also keep the Sabbath. So enjoy the rest of the Sabbath. Bible study was profitable for you, and keep thinking about benefits and blessings of keeping God's Sabbath.